101 WIXX, Green Bay's Packers radio network station.
It's time for Talkin' Football.
Breaking down the Packers game with Murphy, Katie, and Nick.
And the voice of the Green Bay Packers, Wayne Larrabee.
No huddle again. Bridgewater trying to leap the line, fumbles the football, and it's scooped up and on the run down the right side. Cutting it back, it's Kevin King across the 50, down to the 45-yard line of Carolina. My goodness. Oh.
Well, Wayne, it seems like forever ago since we played that game. But here we are, a victory Monday after a huge win. When you consider not only the Packers trying to keep pace and trying to keep things going with that number one seed, but then the landscape of the entire NFL and how it fell over the weekend with Kansas City and New Orleans. And it's just incredible the way things go and how difficult it is to win each week, Wayne.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, we talk about taking care of business, and that's not easy to do in the NFL, as the Saints found out in Philadelphia a week ago, and as the Rams found out yesterday when they hosted the winless Jets. You know, just getting a win in this league. I mean, Tampa Bay was down by double digits in their game yesterday and were able to storm back to win, but you can't take anything for granted.
Dude, what's up with Atlanta, though? I mean, can they hold a lead?
No, the Patriots killed Atlanta.
Oh, my gosh.
The Patriots in the Super Bowl have murdered them.
I actually thought of you, and I was like, Nick is so right. They cannot hold a lead for the life of them. Sorry, but we're here to talk Packers. Continue.
It is funny, though, Wayne, and you've been around for a long time and done a lot of games and been around a lot of franchises, and sometimes you just get the yips. You get something that over history just kind of proves to be an identity of a franchise, and it's hard to break that. It's sort of the old Lombardi, winning is contagious kind of thing.
Yeah, it is, and, you know, it's the football people, of course, will deny all that because they believe they can fix it with personnel or X's and O's. But I do believe in that mystical thing that happens to franchises and sports teams. And that, yeah, they do get into a, I don't know if it's not just a reputation, but it is a pattern where they just do things like the Atlanta's doing now. Atlanta's a good team. You know, they prove it every week. They get up on the best of teams. And so, you know, they can do it, but they can't sustain it. And that's the problem.
I remember years ago talking to Don Beebe when Don had just retired and he was back in town for like an autograph session and everything and had a chance to visit with him. And I asked him about those Buffalo teams and the Super Bowls. And Don kind of made the same comment. He said, you know, there was just a culture that when you got to the Super Bowl, the minute something went wrong, we all looked at each other on the sidelines and said, here we go. And it was just a mindset that they could never get over in the biggest game. You'd think professionals and everything that they would just have a different psyche to them, but it just happens. They're human.
Yeah, and yet it's amazing what they were able to do. Four consecutive seasons of Super Bowls. That's never happened. It probably never will. The Packers winning three world championships in three straight years under Lombardi. That'll probably never happen in the NFL again. And people say, well, never is a long time. Yeah, but if the system stays the way it is now, right, with player movement, with salary caps and everything else, it ain't going to happen again, folks, because you can't keep the same people together in that culture that's created. Now, what Buffalo did, you're right, Nick. In the regular season, though, they always won. In the AFC playoffs, they always found a way. Even when they were down by 30-something to Houston, they found a way to win the game without Jim Kelly, a quarterback. Frank Reich took over in that legendary playoff game in Buffalo. Marv Levy was the head coach of those teams. You're right. There's a certain, and I think Don hit the right word. There's a culture that these teams establish. And the only way, for example, Atlanta's going to get out of this culture is to change everything. And in fact, they're on their way to doing that. They blew out the front office and the head coach. They're going to blow out a bunch of players. They have to, because they've got to change the culture.
See, and that's where I'm a little concerned, because we're all, you know, we want this bye. I feel like our culture is we don't do too well after a bye. And I know we want to take the win to get to the next round, easy peasy, but I'm not comfortable with us going into the playoffs with a first round bye.
Well, Katie, I think the big factor for this particular Packers team, and I remember, you know, in years past, they were talking all the time about, oh, we need to get that week off and heal up and get ready and be fresh and all this other stuff. This team is talking more about, hey, we just need to make sure the playoffs go through Green Bay. We need the NFC championship game if we get there in Green Bay this time around. And that's kind of the mentality. And I'll say this, that's a little bit different mentality than I remember of those teams 4 or 5 years ago that were trying to get to the NFC title game and had other, you know, reasons involved.
Do you think, too, there's any impact with COVID? Because I have a feeling we're going to be, like, we're going to really tighten the bubble once we hit to playoffs, and those players aren't going to be allowed to go anywhere. So there's going to be no jet setting to Cabo or party bus with the team or party boat. So I'm just wondering if that, I mean, and we haven't been those teams that have done that, but who knows what they're doing when we're not looking.
You know, the thing about it, even the bye week, though, I mean, the players weren't allowed to leave town. They had to get tested daily and that type of thing. The NFL has tightened the bubble across the league, guys, in the last couple of weeks. There hasn't been much written about it, but they really have. You know, the third floor at Lambeau Field, you know, there's restrictions on who can go there and who can't, that kind of thing. You know, that's where the coaches are and everything. Players, you know, media, the access is very, very slim in terms of eyes at practice. So, you know, the NFL bubble, and by the way, the NFL, what they're pulling off is phenomenal.
Yes.
Amazing.
It is amazing.
Yes. We lose sight of how difficult this has been to pull off for 15, 16 weeks now. But they're going to get the season in. And a lot of it has to do with the discipline of the players and the league imposing its will on the players and franchises to make sure everyone is on the up and up here. And there aren't going to be any party boats. And, yeah, I mean, they get a week off. They'll be in Green Bay. And
well,
they'll be in Green Bay. It'll be a physical week off, but the rest of it is still going to be, you know, tuned into what they have to do to play the next game.
I guess that's my other question, too, with you just being a little bit more of an insider. Is there, like, extra precautions around Aaron?
I don't get the sense there's anything. Well, I imagine there is. I mean, I'm sure he's taking extra precautions, but I'm not in those rooms. You know, I'm not in that on that third floor. I'm not in the locker room. I can't honestly tell you if there is or not, but I can tell you this. I guarantee you Aaron Rodgers is not doing anything to put himself in jeopardy. I'd be shocked if anything happened with him.
Looking back on the game on Saturday, Wayne, and, you know, the culture here under Matt LaFleur has been foot on the gas and no break. And I think if people are analyzing it in an interesting fashion, that it looks like we took our foot off the gas in the second half. It really was a tale of two halves. But sometimes I don't know if we take our foot off the gas or if it's just that we drive poorly once we're heading down the road. The execution to me in the second half was really the problem more than it was the approach.
And you could see it at the end of the first half, the last two possessions Green Bay had after scoring touchdowns on the first three possessions. Now, think about this for the game. First three possessions, the Packers scored 21 points, had 203 yards of offense, were 4 of 6 on third down conversions. The last seven Green Bay possessions, and I don't count the last possession, but seven possessions, 3 points, 88 yards, 1 of 6 on third down conversions. Think about that, you know, for a minute there. You know, that's a huge departure. I think you have to give credit certainly to Carolina. I think the offensive line struggled with the athleticism and youth of the defensive front seven of Carolina. And as the game wore on, that became more and more a problem.
Well, we'll see how this shakes out now. We got a real tough game coming up. We're going to keep visiting with Wayne, the voice of the Green Bay Packers, here on your home for Green Bay Packers football. More talking football coming up.
Back to Talkin' Football with Wayne Larrabee
on the Murphy in the Morning Show
on WIXX.
Big win for the Green Bay Packers. Wayne Larrabee, voice of the Green Bay Packers, joining us on the Murphy in the Morning Show. And Wayne, as we head now into the twilight of the regular season and looking ahead to the postseason, already locked up, division locked up, and now what a nice early Christmas gift from Kansas City. Not that it was a surprise, but that was a battle of a couple of Titans yesterday, and it worked out really well for us. Now we just need one, or the Saints lose one, and home field is locked up.
Yeah, exactly, and the Packers remain in control of their own destiny. A win over a good Tennessee team coming in here certainly would, as a Sunday night, would clinch home field advantage throughout the playoffs with a week to go in the regular season. But this isn't going to be easy. You know, Tennessee is a team very similar to the Packers. Their offense is excellent. They do a lot of good things offensively. Obviously, King Henry, the running game, will travel whether the weather's good or bad in Green Bay. No matter the surface, they will run the football effectively. But the thing they struggle with, they have trouble on defense, as a lot of teams do. And they are a mirror image, in my opinion, of the Packers and many of the strengths and weaknesses you look at these two teams and add them up. But it's interesting, Nick. The thing about it's good to be in the NFC because I'm going to tell you something here. You look at the AFC and the top eight teams in the AFC, eight, The top eight teams in the AFC have lost only a combined three games to NFC teams this year. Think about that. And so Tennessee comes in here. You know, they're 10-4 overall playing in that tough AFC. They haven't lost to an NFC team yet this year. So this is going to be an interesting ball game coming up on Sunday night.
It gives me a little pause, Wayne, and I'm a big fan of honesty at the podium, and everybody's got a set of eyes and a set of ears, and we can watch as fans and know kind of what's going on. But I was surprised at our podium that both Aaron and Coach LaFleur put out there the difficulties in getting Devontae into the mix and what that did to the rest of the offensive unit. I feel like as an opponent, you're always looking to just take Devontae out of the mix. And to sort of admit that when he's not able to get into the rhythm, the whole offense struggles, I guess should be a big concern for us as we head into really quality opponents in the postseason.
Yeah, there's no question about it. But it doesn't happen often that he has one of those nights. And he seemed to have one of those nights, it seemed like. I think there was a drop pass in the mix, that type of thing. Which happens. The best of receivers, and trust me, Devontae's the best of the receivers. So, I think what that's going to do is certainly make sure that the other guys involved. If somebody's going to commit, a safety over the top of Devontae Adams for the entire game, then make them pay elsewhere. And that's what you have to do. And that's where the other guys have got to step up. That's where Robert Tonyan has to step up. And certainly, they try to get the tight end involved a little bit more. They also go to the wide receivers a little bit more. MVS has to have the kind of game he had 2 weeks ago and that kind of thing. If they're going to commit people to taking away Devontae Adams, then you have to make them pay elsewhere because there are people open elsewhere.
Well, it's going to be nice to have him at home. And, I kind of changed my tune on this, Wayne. Originally, I thought without fans, it is a little bit of a loss of that home field advantage, especially at a Lambeau Field. But I'm starting to look at it a little bit differently as the weather turns.
You know, this is I mentioned this the other night on the air. And, people have the wrong idea on why the Packers need home field. You're exactly right. COVID. I mean, look at all the road teams that win. I think road teams are at least 50-50 on the road. Or maybe they've won more games this year on the road than have the home teams. But the reason the Packers need the games in Green Bay, their defense, look at the defensive numbers. They are 8 points better defensively at home than they are on the road. That is huge. And you look at the other night, they held, Carolina under 20 points at home. On the road, the Packers give up over 30 points a game on the road. So trust me, the weather is good. It's always good to be home. It's good to have a week off going into the playoffs. But the reason the Packers need to be home is not offense, it's defense.
When it's good to
be. Oh, they need all the help they can get.
It's good to be in the position they're in right now, Wayne. It's always hard to complain after a loss. That's a heck of a win, tough to win in the NFL, and the Packers are in a great spot right now. So have a wonderful call against Tennessee.
Yes, and Merry Christmas, Wayne.
Merry Christmas to you guys. Happy New Year.
Thanks so much, Wayne. Have a good one. We'll talk to you after, hopefully, the clinching game for home field advantage next week. Have a great week, Wayne.
Absolutely. Look forward to it, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.